like to call to order the August 3rd, 2016 meeting of the Tiburon Town Council. Could I get a roll call, please?
Yes, Madam Mayor. Councilmember Fredericks?
Here.
Councilmember O'Donnell? Vice Mayor Frazier?
Here.
Mayor Tolini?
Here.
And Councilmember Doyle is excused.
This time, I would like to open to the public any persons wishing to address the town council on subjects not on the agenda. This would be the time to do so. Seeing none, I will move on. We did have a closed session this evening. We have nothing to report. And I will move on to the consent calendar. Is there anyone in the public or on the council that would like to remove any of the items from the consent calendar? Seeing none, can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And then I'll move to our first action item, Shoreline Park event. Do I have a staff report?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'm standing in for Town Manager Chanis, who's ill tonight. But I did help him prepare this report, and we also have Chief Pierce from the Fire District who will give his presentation on what is proposed on October 1 in conjunction with the Fire District's Diamond Jubilee Weekend. They would like to have a show of antique fire trucks in Shoreline Park. They're requesting closure of the road between Paradise Drive between Tiburon Boulevard and Mar West. And they will, I think I'm going to let Rich explain more about that, and then you can answer some questions.
Well, Mayor, members of the council, thanks for entertaining our request. We're really looking forward to a fantastic celebration of 75th year on the Westville. And what we're hoping to do is to work in conjunction with Friday Night on Main, as we kick off, have a nice entertainment night on Friday Night on Main, depending, fireworks depending on financing. On Saturday, we're going to have a parade of antique fire apparatus, and then we're going to follow that with a showing down to Shoreline Park, which can put out the entertainment place, and a parade of fire boats. As you know, we have some really good in San Francisco Bay Area, so we have a pretty good. And then that's going to be filed up on Saturday night at the ball. So we're very excited about it, and again, thank you for entertaining our request. So, as usual, the fire district will be responsible for the setup and the cleanup and see what the construction is doing. It's been a very well-supported program in the past. We did something similar to this on our 50th anniversary. So anyway, unless anyone has any questions,
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, is there any member of the public that would like to comment on this item?
Enthusiastically support the request for the special event. That it's fully consistent with the agreement that exists for the Shoreline Park. It's both fully public, open to the public, and family oriented. So we look forward to having a great afternoon.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I will bring it back to the council.
Sounds like a great event to me.
Me too.
Fully willing to approve.
I'll just say that I've had other parents come up to me and say, I have a great idea. Wouldn't it be a great idea to have a fireman or the policeman just set up downtown and have the kids come and meet everyone and get to see the fire trucks and the police trucks and, you know, feel part of the community, have like we're all part of the same community, and this achieves that goal. So I love it too. I think it's great. Can I get a motion to approve?
Yes.
Oh, all in favor?
Uh-huh.
Aye. Right. Thanks. Sorry, I'm behind. I know, right? Our second action item is McKegney Green. Do I have a staff report?
Yes.
Will you guys come work it out? behind the scenes.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, I have a... I have a brief PowerPoint to introduce the McKegney Field, playfield item. Your light's a little better? Okay, great, thank you. Again, we've covered this background before, but just as a refresher, the field is 40 years old, has had no major maintenance, it's in poor condition. And we began meeting with the soccer club about this in the spring of 2015, well over a year ago. In March, council authorized a pre-design study. In April, we discussed at the council retreat some of the findings of that study before the study was published, particularly the elevated salt levels that we found due to seawater intrusion that makes our water more like brackish water than regular secondary treated water. In May, we discussed a pre-design report at the council meeting, and council selected a 110,000 square foot field. In June, we sent a memo to council regarding turf options, and that would reflect water options as well, and also the cost of the 110,000 square foot field. We've looked at a number of alternatives to date. This has seven alternatives, but there are sub-alternatives inside of each one. Where you see a plus on there, that means plus potable water, which changes the grass type. So a total of 13 options in all, ranging from under $700,000 to above $3 million. At the last meeting, the council did select two of these for a proposal. These are 110,000 square foot fields each, both of them sand-based fields. They would have the crown removed, the drainage improved. The difference between them is one would use recycled water and the other would use potable water. With recycled water comes the paspalum grass and a slightly less use per year. The cost is a significant difference is the cost of supplying the potable water. Potable water fields estimated about $2 million and the recycled water field at about $1.6 million. The differences in maintenance per year is simply the cost of recycled water versus the cost of potable water at $2,000 a year. Both of these options are expensive. If you read the staff report, you know that staff is recommending that we discuss funding prior to moving ahead with the design. The design of the field as designed, if we take the crown out and we enlarge it above the 75,000 square feet, and we do that design, and then we change our mind about that, the design will not be usable. There won't be parts of the design that really will be usable. So to save both money, about $60,000, and time, staff is recommending that we decide what we can afford to build and how we're going to pay for it prior to starting the design.
Thank you. Any questions?
So I gather from the staff report that you're asking us to use some time to have some discussions with the soccer people about what is feasible with respect to funding the question. Is that what you're asking of us tonight?
That would be one possibility. There are many possibilities for funding, but I'm not sure that the funding of $1.6 to $2 million has been secured. And unless we are confident that we can move forward with a project of that size, we should probably delay the design portion of it.
My understanding of the direction, my understanding is, the best way I think we should go about this is to discuss options of funding and what we think we would be comfortable spending. I think the soccer field folks have relayed to us they think they can raise approximately $150,000. So I think that kind of leaves us with a discussion about the rest.
So we should have
just to go, circling back to the question part. So the paspalum grass, I did a little bit of research on this, including meeting the groundskeepers of the golf courses that are over at Monarch Bay and the Metropolitan Golf Club. And Greg was going to speak with a gentleman over there named Greg Instrom, I believe his name was. Did they ever connect? And because I see that you've actually mentioned that as an option, whereas Peter Arnold's report indicated that grass was not suitable. So I'm just kind of curious as to where we stand on the grass part of things.
That is an excellent question. You are correct that our consultant does recommend against the paspalum and does believe it would be experimental. We did reach out to Gary Ingram. I had a long conversation with him this afternoon, wrapping
okay,
up. He had some additional research he wanted to do and people he wanted to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrapped that conversation up based on those conversations this afternoon. He believes it could work. However, he does also admit there is a risk. Now, in his field, on his golf course, he basically was faced with mud, and he tried a few different grasses, and paspalum was the winner, and he used it, and it's been successful there. Some places are more successful than others. He recommends that before we spend the type of money we're talking about on a project, that we actually put down a test patch and leave it there for a while to see whether it will do well. Now, granted, you know, you let it be there for a year and you've had a 1 year and, you know, you could have a good winter and everything thrives. But still, a test, even at a limited amount of time, is better than no test at all. I would agree with them.
Wow, that's breaking news, so to speak.
This is breaking news.
Yeah.
He expressed some level of confidence, not without some caution, please. The biggest problem is that we cannot water during the winter. And we get a dry winter. Paspalum is a bit of a water hog. And then when you have high salts, you actually need more water on top of it. And we're limited to how much water we can use. We're limited to where we can use it. And we are cooler in the winter. I did check with some of the areas that Peter Arnold had looked at. And we do get cooler in the winter than they do. So it is a risk. The way I see it is that we would play hard for an entire season, beat up the grass, and then we would ask it to recover. And we'd re-ask it to recover when it naturally wants to go dormant because it's cool, and when we can't water it,
right,
when it needs water. And then we want it to be recovered fine by the next year after it's gone through that cycle. That's a risk.
But it's sort of what we do with the current situation now. We sort of turn the sprinklers off, come, say, Halloween time, when rain traditionally will come to the area, and we allow the natural water to, I mean, the rainwater to water the grasses until, I guess, March or April, when you flick the switch back on again, much like people do in their own homes. So the only risk would be the dry winter.
Right.
And
the fact that paspalum does want to go dormant in the cool more than the grass types we have now, and that it is a water user.
Right. But in the Peter Arnold report, it mentioned that, you mentioned Brentwood was a big, but Brentwood is a very different climate than San Francisco Bay, which tends to have the temperate and moderating temperatures throughout the year, you know, the scale, whereas Brentwood could go from well over 100 degrees in the summer to below freezing in the wintertime. I know because I work out there, so it's common that it can be 28, 29 degrees in the morning out there, and or overnight, and in the winter time. And it's a different environment that you would never experience here. And I just want to say as a comment, I mean, when I walked around the golf courses and saw the grass, I mean, I didn't bring a soccer ball or cleats with me. But it, you know, just seemed like normal grass that didn't seem any different than the grass that you would beat up, whether it be Bermuda or zoysia or any of the different types of grasses that are more common here. But
There are a few differences. He did caution that we would have to cut it often, because if you let it grow and you scalp it down to keep it to get it short, it does not like that. It will be brown. It will be bad. You got to keep on it and mow it. And you're right. He did ask about, do we actually get frosts? And we get frosts from time to time, and that would not be good. Our average winter low temperature in the two coldest months is 41, though, which that is cooler. I actually have pictures of some paspalum grass from the air. Would you like to look at those?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be useful?
Sure. Have we moved to discussion now?
No, so this is part of the question of whether this grass is really a suitable grass, and it's a new information that you came up with this afternoon.
Sorry, I'm going to have to skip through another number of projects. I'm having trouble with this clicker.
So let me piggyback a question on this while we're talking about temperature.
Yes, ma'am.
So actually in my yard, we've, in the last couple of years, have experienced frost and burnt plants.
There.
When you say a 41 degree average, what does it really take to damage papsalum? One night, 5 nights, 10 hours? Nobody knows.
I do not know the answer to that, and I'm not sure too many people do. I do know that it goes dormant, and it'll go dormant. If it doesn't get enough water, it does not look good. But also, it goes brown in the wintertime. And this is a picture of a field in Southern California. And this is in November of 2012. And you can see that they're watering this. I mean, you can tell by the circles. This is getting water. In the next picture, just to show, that's a November picture. This is a couple years later, and that is a April picture. You can tell that they've given up on whatever it was next to it in the football field and have gone over to a different type of turf. But you know, you can pull up a picture midsummer, the latest Google picture, it looks good. They recover this each year. So
remind me, we can or can't use recycled water with this?
We can.
This is salt tolerant. It is perhaps one of only two grass species that the person I spoke to knew of that would handle brackish water. And I use the word brackish water because all recycled water contains salts. That's not the problem here. The problem is we've got salt water intrusion into the sewer system. We're basically using salt water. And that's why Mill Valley blends theirs 80% potable water. Oftentimes when they're getting the intrusions. It's very salty, so it's more like brackish water. And paspalum, and then there's another type, but you can't lay it down as sod.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, I will open it up for public comment. Seeing none, I will bring it back to the council.
We'll start a little bit. I'd like to see the soccer field fixed up. I think probably everyone in the council would like to see the soccer field fixed up. But spending $1.3 to $2 million just does not seem within really a realm of possibility, given our town budget, our town reserves, and allocating so much to one particular project. Doesn't seem to be fair to all concerned. And I think there's, even this afternoon now, there's new developing information about the grass that we didn't know about prior to this report. And I had actually been pushing for some information on this grass because I had come to believe that it was perfect for the environment in terms of, you know, using the recycle water, which is a far more environmentally beneficial thing than taxing more potable water for this particular field. And it wouldn't change the current condition, what we have. The only fear was what would happen in the winter when we didn't have the water allocation that we currently have, and we had a dry winter. That would be a difficulty. And I just think that we as a council ought to think of, like, what kind of a financial commitment should we make to a project like this? And I did also have an opportunity to speak with Greg about it and Aaron about it, and I think we need to think, sort of maybe rescale back a little bit and maybe scale back some of the expectations of what we can do there and look at it from more of a budget perspective of let's say we can spend X, or we can look to spend X, and then what can we get for that X? And I would sort of throw out a number of 500,000 to 700,000 as a sort of a ballpark range, and what could we get for within that range? And hopefully, even within that range, we'd be able to get the contribution that Aaron already referenced of about $150,000, which the soccer groups have indicated that they could either raise privately or possibly through some field fee registration when that registration period comes up and whatnot. So I would kind of recommend that we pause and possibly even form a little town council subcommittee, see how we can maybe rescale the project down from this 110,000 square feet, how we can really find out which grass we should be using, take a sort of a, come up with a real formal plan, not just you know, eight different options here. One of them includes artificial turf, which I think we have already eliminated, and then see what can we do for what we all would consider, and I hope you would agree with, you know, a figure of around $600,000 or $700,000 or $500,000, which I think is about what we should. Maybe that means we can't do this, we can't do this, and we can't do this, but we can do this and make it a little bit better. And to that end, I think we should create a little subcommittee that comes up with a sort of a formal proposal, because I think there are also some other issues that have not been fully explored that I've learned about that have to do with the suitability of the water on the fields, the permitting process, the BCDC, all that would have to go through. And rather than just sort of like charge ahead with an option that we haven't really identified and start spending money to design something that we don't know exactly what we can design, that we could probably come up with a little bit better of a framework and then tackle it that way. And to that end, I'm willing to serve on some committee with somebody else on the council and see what we can do to sort of like bring this project a little bit more under focus and a little bit more under financial control, so that we can and do a good job at the same time. And that's what I would sort of recommend that we do.
So, and I want to make it clear, I'm not volunteering for this committee.
I'm volunteering Jim.
Oh. But
Jim, you're a man of the people. You've got a lot of families coming into town that need homes.
Soccer fields.
Soccer fields are good for that.
A lot of bandwidth in your life.
You and I have done a lot of construction stuff together. We have. We did a great job together with the ranch and
did you notice how Alice just jumped all over you and he did, I said let's change the subject, and now he's a sales pitch now.
So to continue, I agree that we should take a step back. I think an ad hoc committee is a great idea. I think looking at ways to scale down the project and still get something that is really more usable and safer with better drainage is great. And during that time, actually explore options for raising revenue. I can tell you one way you can't raise revenue. One of the jurisdictions tried to apply for OBAG II funds, which are federal funds that come through MTC's priority conservation area money to re-turf one of their fields, and it was rejected. So no federal money, but maybe there are other opportunities.
Listening to Councilman O'Donnell, articulate the approach, and I'll call it top-down versus bottom-up, meaning what can we afford to do versus let's build it and see how much it's going to cost and figure out how to fund it, makes more sense to me. Because we don't have an unlimited budget, we don't have a funding source, and even though we've been blessed with a fiscally sound council for many, many years, it's because of fiscally sound management and always having, if you will, a significant amount of money in the rainy day fund or reserves so that we can make emergency decisions or good decisions when they confront us or when we're confronted by them. What I'm not clear on is, and that's why maybe a committee that Emmett and somebody else will be on to be determined. You could say, let's spend $500,000. I, you know, sometimes you can throw $500,000 on and won't do a darn thing because you really need $750,000. And I don't know that I can sit here tonight and say that either I haven't listened well or I don't know exactly what $500,000 would do or wouldn't do. I mean, it seems to me you got the field, you know, we'll get a couple of, you know, grading machines out there, we'll churn up the dirt, we'll throw some seed on, and tomorrow the grass will grow. But no, that's not the way it's going to happen. And I also don't think we have enough information in front of us to roll the dice and say, pass pilot may work. Well, what if it doesn't? And I like the thinking, let's try something that people think will work, but we're playing with the people's money, and if it doesn't work, we got to start all over again, and that's not a good answer either. What's disturbing to me, though, just as a side comment, is I drive by that at least probably four times a day. All of you drive by, maybe the same number or more. And I look over on the right-hand side, particularly when I'm going downtown, and you see the holes. And from the street, they look like they're 6 inches deep. They may not be, but you can see the kids trying to kick a soccer ball or run up and down there. It's a dangerous place for anybody to run or play on. So we do need to do something to it. So I think we should pause. I applaud the work that the staff has done to provide us as much information that we've asked for, but clearly we're at a point where we don't have enough to make a good decision. I mean, we need better information in order to make a sound decision for the long term.
So I agree with what's been said. Maybe, you know, while we're paused, can we plan a little past bellum and see how it goes? And then, go ahead.
I think I could get some very inexpensively, if not free, from the supplier. If we were just putting down a few squares and maybe put down some of that, some Bermuda, some fescue next to each other, see how they do.
Okay.
That'd be great. That's
tried
a really
to do it in the sand
idea.
Section.
Yeah
that'd be great.
Yeah. But that if we were to go with a spalum rat, that was highly recommended.
That's
if we were going to spend significant money, that we actually do a test, even for a limited period of time, that we do a test.
So you'd set up three different grasses for that same test.
Right, and they wouldn't necessarily be large. He used 10 by 10s.
Right.
But in his test, we'd get something maybe a little larger. But reach out, see if we can talk to the supplier about getting a few of those and getting them installed properly in a place where they get about the same amount of water. And
hopefully one isn't near the broken sprinkler head and one is near the good sprinkler head.
Yes. One thing I actually got cautioned on, hey, if you put your test of spalum down, make sure that after it gets established, you don't have somebody out there watering it all the time. You need a real life situation. If somebody wants to make it succeed, you dump enough water on this stuff, it will succeed. So
you're not allowed to go out.
I won't go out in the water.
It's got to be real life.
The only other thing I would like to say is when we do come up with a realistic budget and we say this is an amount we all feel comfortable spending, I would like that to kind of be in the queue of capital project options that we discuss when we're discussing all capital projects.
Yes,
and
great.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the second thing, last thing, or next thing I want to mention, I think we also make sure that we, to some degree, tampen down the soccer club's expectations to some degree. I mean, we're not going to build a world-class soccer field
have the money to.
You know. That Bayern Munich's going to come and play at, or something like that. It's just not going to happen. We don't have that kind of money. We just need to sort of fix it up, clean it up, make it playable.
Get rid of the holes.
Get rid of the holes.
Drainage.
Fix the sprinkler system. Flatten it if we can. Flatten it more, and see what we can do. And if Jim doesn't work with me on the committee, we can nominate Frank.
I was just going to say that. Why don't we nominate Frank?
He'll love it.
I think
that'll teach him
and
not to
part,
call
part, of, part of the subcommittee recommendations would be, and you may have said it, so and I apologize if I missed it, that not only do we figure out what the recommended cost would be and what it would do, but how we're going to, as you, like you said before, how we'd fund it.
How do we fund it?
Because we just don't have a good funding mechanism right now, and other than dip into our own coffers, and we should participate, but so should others.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, if we make this public-private partnership with maybe not only soccer, maybe there's lacrosse once, you know, that something that we can create public-private partnership, I think would be a good solution.
Okay, so I think that is our direction to staff. Is that good enough?
I believe I heard a motion. Did I hear a motion for a subcommittee? Or
so I'm making a motion for a subcommittee to further work on this project along the lines of the discussion that we had today, and the committee members would be Frank Doyle and Emmett O'Donnell.
I would second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, thanks.
Good job.
Okay, are there any town council reports?
Summer.
And I guess our town manager report is we send him well wishes.
I think he's at a Giants game.
No, the Giants are in Philadelphia.
Well, he could be there. He could be, you never know. Don't we have a corporate jet?
All right, thank you. And thanks, Samantha, for being with us tonight. Right, make a motion to adjourn. That's how Frank was on.